Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
And Odyssey Sports Station. Dirt and Sprague.
Stroud steps up in the pocket, throws over the middle, it's intercepted. Falling down on the ground, getting up, it's Jones, comes near side, 40, 35, 30, has a convoy, knocked out of bounds near sidelines. Holy catfish, what an interception.
Andy Dirt Johnson, Brandon Sprague.
1-0 pitch. Swing and a fly ball, left field and deep. A Rosarena turns, gone! A Springer dinger! 4-3 Blue Jays in the bottom of the seventh!
Dirt and Sprague on the Fan Sports Network.
All right, 6:02 in the Rose City. Time for Dirt and Sprague on Portland Sports Leader, 105.1 The Fan and the Fan Sports Network. Good morning. Happy Tuesday, everybody. Hello.
What is happening?
Good morning, Andrew.
Hello, Brandon. How are you today?
Oh, you know, just being damned to hell by all the Mariner fans out there.
How dare you, you bastard.
It's getting hot in here.
You bastard. The second they call Brandon Sprague out of the bullpen in the seventh inning, I knew this is not going to end well. He doesn't have a good fastball.
He can't pitch to Springer.
I'm not trusting his off-speed stuff right now. Of all the people to bring in the bottom of the seventh inning, Brandon Sprague probably would have been my last call. But Dan Wilson, we need to fire his ass.
Yeah, that's the beauty of sports. Is it not? Is like the immediacy of
fire the coach?
Yeah, like devastating right emotional bat. Losses. They hurt. Yeah. We know it. I've shared the story. First time I ever cried over sports in my entire life. 1996.
Yeah,
New York Yankees beat my Atlanta Braves, who I will die to the death of me saying that was the best team in baseball, and they did what the Braves did. They choked.
Yep,
and they lost the World Series. And I remember watching the final out down the third baseline. And I literally started crying. I was so angry that I started crying. And I hate the Yankees ever since that point.
How do you not?
But I also, I don't think I was old enough to say fire Bobby Cox.
No, and he also had won like 842 consecutive division championships.
They just won the World Series the year prior.
Just won it. They'd been to a couple. Like they, you know, not like times were tough in Atlanta. They just couldn't get a lot of titles out of it.
That one was real kick in the junk.
I mean, that's as brutal, as bad of a way as you could lose a game. Just
only thing worse would have been the walk-off.
Walk-off if Springer hit it in the bottom of the ninth inning.
Springer goes yard, and that's it.
Touche.
That's the only way that's worse.
That's the only way it's worse, because they gave you just enough hope and belief late in the game to make your mind go places that you don't want your mind to go as a fan. Like if it's a tie game, or if you're losing the entire game, or if it's, you know, 1-0, 1-1, 2-1, 2-2, the entire game back and forth that way, you're like, all right, we got a chance here. But when you got a 3-1 lead with 8 outs to go in the ALCS in Game 7, your mind is there. You're thinking about it. Oh my God,
you're trying not to, but you can't.
It's impossible
help it.
Yeah, not to. Exactly. It's so close that you can taste it, and then just in the blink of an eye, it's the beauty and the curse of baseball. In the blink of an eye, everything changes, and you go, oh my God, did that just happen? And then the rest is history.
Well, we've been really honest with you guys through this baseball playoff journey of like when our team's eliminated, we tend to not really care about baseball sports fans anymore.
Yeah.
But I've been following and watching the postseason. And I'll say this, I think somebody summed this up before, and we may have said this already, but like baseball is weirdly, it just kind of weirdly hurts the most in baseball.
Yeah.
Because of how long the season is and how
it's such a grind.
It's such a grind, and every pitch is intense, and you never know when your team's going to pop or bust. And so there's a real thing to that. I have something to throw at Mariner fans, and I'm very curious to hear from them today.
Okay.
Because I know I'm public enemy number one.
Yes, this is all your fault.
Because I bought, what was that guy's name? Bizzardo? Lizardo?
Yeah, Bizzardo.
Bizzardo. Yeah. I brought Bizzardo out.
I feel like he pitched in pretty much every postseason game for the Mariners this postseason.
Yeah. Yeah,
it sounds about right.
How are you guys?
Oh, hey, Swag. Hey, how we doing?
What's up, Swag?
Wouldn't call you from the bullpen yet. Got starters that can go the full distance and hit 3 home runs. But I know I'm public enemy number one today.
Sure.
Here in the beautiful city of Portland for all the Seattle Mariner sports fans.
Yes.
Can I throw something at you that might, just for today, get you to say...
Doubtful, but try.
It's not your fault.
Oh,
you're kind of right on this point.
Okay.
This is an observation.
Doubtful, but let's give it a shot.
So who's on the broadcast yesterday of the game?
That would be...
Joe Davis and John Smoltz.
Okay, thank you.
John Smoltz is so bad. What happened to him? I felt like when he started calling these games, he was great. I get nothing out of John Smoltz now.
He has a moment every game, but then, yeah, it's largely like, yeah, okay.
Even that, he had a bit of a Romo vibe when even like at the last at-bat of the game of like, this is what it's all about. Thanks, John.
I mean, sometimes those guys just have to
say
that stuff.
There's
a lot of time to fill in a baseball game.
The Springer home run, they laid out and then he came back and I'm like, there's no juice, there's no energy here. Like, we just had a go-ahead 3-run home run in the bottom of the 7th inning in the Game 7 of the ALCS. I digress. Go ahead. What are you going to throw out?
So here is my working theory today.
Yeah.
Okay, so what team does Joe Davis call games for in the regular season?
The Los Angeles Dodgers, those cheating bastards.
Okay.
Cheat? What'd we do?
I don't know if you picked up on this during the broadcast, but if I was a Mariner fan, I'd be angry at me. I get it. Yeah. I had a Mariner World Series ticket that I bet on during the home run derby, and I was cocky sniffing when they went up to it. I get it. I deserve it.
Yeah.
I'd also be maybe more outraged today at Joe Davis. Now, look, I understand the Blue Jays lineup with bats can look dangerous, and it certainly proved to be last night with Springer's bomb. But when you equate pitching and home run ability, the Mariners scare me more than the Blue Jays, despite what the outcome was in the series.
Hmm.
And so I think Joe Davis secretly wants his Doyers
of course he does.
To play the Blue Jays more than the Mariners. And my theory behind that is... by the 5th inning, that dude just outright started telling you how many outs away they were from the World
Series. Counting it down the entire end of the
and
game.
And that would have left me...
uh-oh, Mariner fans, 12 more outs. Uh-oh, 11 more outs.
That would have left me outraged. Yeah. Did you not pick up on that? The J.P. Crawford double play where he leaped over and threw it. He goes, and they're 12 outs away. And I'm like, dude.
Yeah, calm down, Joe.
12 outs is too many outs for you to be counting
usually
that
you
down.
Start counting at 9. You get through 6, you got a lead. That's when you start
I'm not counting outs as a broadcaster until the 9th inning. Yeah, I'm not doing, like, you get to the 9th inning and it's 3-1. Then you get the first out. You say you're 2 outs away from the World Series.
I agree with
that. I'm not counting outs in the 6th inning, 7th inning, or 8th inning. There's way too much time still to go.
So, look. I'm laying out now.
Nice deflection.
I'm Braveheart. I'm Mel Gibson. Okay? I understand what's happening on this table.
You will be sacrificed today.
I saw all the anger on Twitter this morning when I woke up and got on social media. I understand it.
Yeah.
I apologize to you, although, I didn't bring Bizzardo out and pitch Springer. And,
no, that wasn't your call.
No,
you know,
no.
I didn't pitch last night.
You're not in the 7, 8, or 9 spot in the Mariners lineup and couldn't get a hit the entire series.
You're mad at your dad. You're not mad at me, but
exactly.
I'll allow you to be mad at me today. But I would also be just as mad at Joe Davis of outright counting your outs away to kind of jinx you because I think he'd prefer his team to play the Blue Jays than your Mariners.
Yeah, I mean, they would probably argue, too, it's better to have an East Coast and a West Coast team in the World Series instead of an all-West Coast World Series.
Yeah, that's a Fox thing.
That right Fox is thrilled today that Toronto is in that thing, and you get an entire...
You think it's going to be higher rated because of that?
I think Blue Jays and Dodgers will be much higher rated than Mariners-Dodgers, for sure.
Because
you get all of Canada,
right,
all of the Northeast too, right? Fans, yeah. All of the AL East fans, yeah. That whole side of the country. And if you just had... I would have loved to have a West Coast World Series. I was going to root forever, won the game last night to try and beat the Dodgers, but... That they're thrilled that that ended up being the case. Here's what I'll say, at least, and this isn't going to make anybody feel good, but at least for a game seven, we talked about it yesterday. Will it be a stud or a dud? That game was awesome.
That was a great game seven.
I ended up, I don't know how you guys were watching it, but I had the double box on, obviously, at the start, watching Bucks and Lions going at the same time. And then that game was kind of out of, you know, it
God, that game sucked.
Hung around for a while. Like, is Tampa going to do anything? And then by the, you know, end of the third, you're like, all right, this isn't happening.
What about the over in that one?
And then I flipped over and I didn't even see. I missed the whole start. I didn't even care about the start of Seahawks and Texans.
Yeah, I watched the double like, box with the audio on the baseball, and then I went full baseball.
When it got to like sixth, seventh inning is when it's like, all right, this is 3-1 Same. Here. They're, you know, we're winding down, and I totally tuned out. And then once the baseball game was over and the celebration, it's like, all right, let's see what's happening with the Seahawks.
Once Hoffman did his interview with Tommy Verducci.
Dad Verducci down there.
Once he did the interview, because I didn't watch any of the LCS trophy stuff. I don't really care. once that interview got done, I switched over. I missed the first Seahawk touchdown. I didn't watch a second of the beginning of that football game. I devoted most of my attention to baseball, even with my buck bet trending on spray
sure.
line.
You're trying to watch that, yeah.
I had it, but I wasn't really paying attention because the game was kind of what
that
it
game
was.
Sucked. That game, Detroit jumped out on him, and that game kind of sucked. And there wasn't a lot to
well,
take
both
away
offenses
from
were terrible.
Yes, which was a huge surprise from your angle of betting it. I would have loved the over too. All of Detroit's secondary, it felt like, was out. They had injuries and suspensions, and you know, now we're getting into the Monday night game. But that game, at least, you know, it doesn't make Mariner fans feel any better today, nor should it. But that game, at least, from an unbiased, like, just let's be entertained for a game seven. Game seven's usually live up to the hype. That game was awesome, dude. In that moment of Springer hitting a 3-run bomb, that stadium going crazy, the outs that came after it, even the Mariners getting out of the jam in the bottom of the eighth inning where it felt like, oh, they're going to tack on here.
You thought it was
it felt like, oh, this thing is going to open wide open.
Line drive for a double play.
And that was like, oh, he caught it and then tagged up
one
first.
Run.
And that was huge. And all you needed one run and you couldn't do it. I thought they lost the game, though, in the eighth inning when they had the bottom of the order up and they put up no fight. And there's numbers on that. We can get to it. Probably the reason they lost the series. But they needed in that eighth inning to have somebody get a walk. Somebody
just to rally
just
on
to
the
turn
ninth,
the turn the lineup over to where Julio's not up with two outs and nobody on in the ninth. And that was a tough AB to end the season
on. I felt
bad
for Julio, man. He had such a great performance
he was
last
huge,
night.
He
was a monster.
He opened the game up with a double. He hit a home. Like, you had home runs from your two guys. Like, your two big stars showed up. They delivered.
And your pitching was really
good. Pitching with Kirby got off to a rough start and then settled in and dominated. Yeah. And so, like, all of the boxes you wanted to check of, like, you need Julio to have a good game. You need Cal to have a good game. You need Kirby to have a good game. Felt like they checked a lot of those. They just needed one of those guys to get on, draw a walk, do something, lean into a pitch, turn the lineup over.
Yep.
Because that was... For as good of a game as it was, and this is going to be preaching to Mariner fans, I'm sure, the biggest disappointment for me was that we had the potential MVP of the game who hit a tying home run in the eighth inning of game five, who had already hit a home run in game seven, a massive shot.
Yep.
On deck, like he was, that at bat is what I wanted to end it on. Rooting interest be damned. Like Julio getting on and giving Cal Raleigh a chance there to tie the game or take the lead would have been perfect cinema to end the season.
You had to ask a lot of questions, and I think that's what you do when you lose, right? You dissect everything. Like Rivas had a nice moment against the Tigers. He was pretty terrible in
that
series.
The bottom of their order was horrendous.
But I'll even give Wilson this. At least Robles was able to get on base a couple times and draw some walks in the nine hole. Like, Rivas gave him absolutely nothing with his at-bats. He had one shot the whole series that
Canzone
hit the wall.
Canzone had a rough series.
Canzone was... His last strikeout, That third strike, it looked like he gave up because it looked like the ball hit the catcher's mitt and then he swung. It was like, oh, you don't want
seven
this
through
moment.
Nine hitters in the series, by the way. Mariners 7 through 9 hitters hit 113 with a 207 on base percentage. They scored 2 runs. The Blue Jays 7 through 9 hitters hit 284.
They felt dangerous
and scored 12 runs. Yeah. They were the ones that set up the rally for Springer
said
to hit the home
that
run.
In the postgame. He's like, Mariners
needed an Ernie Clement and they didn't.
You needed somebody at the bottom because you had Julio and you had Cal Raleigh show up. The problem is both of them were solo home runs because nobody at the bottom of the lineup could get on base for him.
Hoffman said in his interview with Verdut, he was basically like, what were you thinking? How are you feeling? He's like, oh, it was great. These guys are great. I knew they had my back. He goes, just don't get to Raleigh.
That's all he
just
does.
Don't get to Raleigh.
That was the whole thought.
Like, that's how terrified the closer of the Blue Jays was. It's just like, my only thought was, don't get to that guy.
Yeah.
It's like,
and then your season to end with Julio seeing 5 balls and swinging at 3 of them.
I know, just, dude. That last one.
I felt...
It's so hard to be a batter, but that last pitch from our vantage point is just like...
How are you swinging at that?
What did you see the swing at that? But he might have had his mind made up of like, I'm getting on base.
Well, he probably had the thought that Hoffman had of, I don't want to face Raleigh. And he thought, I'm going to get something to hit here. He's not going to walk me and put me on in order to face Cal Raleigh with 60 bombs. Yep. I'm going to get something to hit. And he was aggressive and it just didn't work out for him.
Well, we'll get to some audio and then we won't really linger after that. Okay.
Yeah.
NFL Factoid Tuesday. So we'll kind of move past it, but I got some carryover stuff I want to get to in the next segment.
It's a hell of a game, man. And a great season. Look, time will heal this wound. It's not going to happen right away. As somebody who watches college football team go undefeated with the dream of, oh my God, they might actually win a title this year and then be down 34-0 in the first half. It's a very weird feeling when your season ends that way, but time heals wounds. And eventually you will be appreciative of the season and the run that you just had.
There are a lot of Mariner fans that are not Duck fans today chiming in, getting pissed. Like, what were you saying to Dirt after his team got waxed by Ohio State?
I'm sure you showed up on January 2nd and said nothing, but you know what, Dirt? I feel bad for you. Hell of a run by the Duckies.
Well, we got a lot to get to today. Jake Butt's going to be on the program. NFL Factoid Tuesday in a Millsack Tuesday. Those questions are welcome at 503-864-6326. It's great to be in. We'll carry over some Game 7, then get to NFL Factoid Tuesday. Dirt and Sprague, 105.1, The Fan.
Skip the gym, not the workout. With Hydro, you get a full body workout in just 20 minutes, hitting 86% of your muscles in one smooth, low-impact motion. And now there's a new Hydro Arc, Hydro's most advanced rower yet. Arc introduces Hydro Metrics, tracking your power, endurance, and precision every time you row, so you can actually see your progress. Go to Hydro.com and use code FIT to get $100 off any Hydro rower, including ARC. That's HYDROW.com. Code FIT.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
It's NFL Factoid Tuesday. We'll get to that at the bottom of the hour.
Our love will lift you higher, Mariner fans.
I mean, it's a show that can just, you know, we might not be Mariner fans, but, dude.
We've all been there before.
Yeah.
We've all been there.
Swag has been so heartbroken.
He watched his team lose back-to-back World Series.
And demoralized that he switched allegiances in the NFL over it.
He did, yeah.
He got tired
so
of getting punched in the face.
So much pain and suffering, he just quit. I'm not doing this anymore.
Yesterday was an unfortunate, Schultzy was not on the air, and so we didn't get live We wouldn't have gotten much, actually, because it was done in five.
He would have got the first couple. Right, he would have been happy, Schulte, leaving the air, because they probably would have had a...
Have we done a wellness check on Schulte?
Have not, no. Okay. My brother-in-law is the biggest Mariner fan I know on the planet. He lives and breathes every second of it and has his entire life. And I sent him a text last night, and it did not get responded to.
What'd you text him?
Just, I feel horrible for you, buddy. Great run. Yeah. You know, so close. What a bummer way to lose it. You know. I'm thinking of you. I sent him one of those. Now, I'm not trash talking anybody. I gave him one of like, I'm there with you, buddy. It's not your fault.
Hallmark have a card for that.
They should. Why do we not have a card
for
section
sports teams.
For sports fandoms that when your team loses?
Yeah.
Like getting a card 2 weeks after the Rose Bowl. Hey, Dirt, I'm thinking about you, buddy. That would have made me feel great.
How is like one of these sports stores in malls not created?
Sorry for your loss.
Sorry for your loss. Sports card.
TM. Trademark.
Wait a minute.
We just came up with $1 million idea.
I actually think people would like to buy these for their friends and family.
I mean, whether it's out of a true sympathetic, I feel bad for you,
or trolling.
Either way, it's a great idea.
If you sent flowers with an "I'm sorry for your loss" card,
should I put
with
one
the
team
on the logo on it?
A USC one on the desk for Meringue when he walks in today. I'm so sorry for your loss this weekend. I'm so sorry. Can't stop the run. So sorry for your loss.
And leave it next to some Lucky Charms.
Yeah, there you go.
I hope this helps you get over it.
This should help, you know, ease the pain and suffering that you've been going through the last 72 hours.
I don't know if you have on the show sheet. We got to get our picks in.
Yeah.
I got to be honest with you. I sent out the show tease last night. In
you
my
totally
mind,
forgot,
I totally
you?
Forgot.
That's fair. Most people don't think
it's game
started.
Seven of the ALCS. I'm watching a game in the NFL at like 10 o'clock at night, and I'm like, I got to get the tweet out. Tease who's coming on the show, and it just was not even on my mind. What time does it start tonight? What's the first game?
4:30.
4:30?
Yeah, which one is that again? It's the
Thunder Rockets. That's right. Raising a banner.
Get to see KD in a Rocket uni.
Yeah, KD got some more money. Yeah.
Dude, total side angle from the game last night.
I meant this to be a game 7 second.
Has it lifted the curtain? Well, it got me thinking about other sports.
No, I know. Yeah.
Did you see what Vladdy wore to the game? Did you see this?
No.
This was very controversial.
Ooh, hold on. What would be controversial swag? Let's try to do the guessing because I didn't see it.
Try and guess.
A Kevin Durant Sonics jersey.
He did not. Why would he do that in Toronto? He would not wear a Kevin Durant jersey.
Oklahoma City Thunder jersey.
No, he did not.
That would have been like
it had nothing to do with Seattle. It had everything to do with Toronto.
Maple Leafs. Game
Who can't win game sevens?
Yeah.
They have lost 800 of them in a row.
Doesn't this make him a cult?
He showed up in a Maple Leafs jersey, and everybody in Toronto was like, whoa, dude. No, we can't win game sevens in those jerseys. What are you doing? And my thought was, are the Maple Leafs going? Is this their year? Are they going on a run? Has the curse been lifted for the Maple Leafs?
Well, he wasn't particularly amazing yesterday specifically, but
he had a good game.
Yeah, he was.
He didn't hit a bunch of home runs.
There was no bombs, and
he had one of those when they were on that rally after the Springer home run, or maybe it was the next inning where he hit one like 120 miles an hour at the left field.
He wrecked him.
It was just directly at Rosa Arena,
foot away from being over the head and going to the wall,
10 feet to the left or right. They score some more runs late in that game.
I was wondering because I saw an article like that's a $500 million player, and we're just kind of conditioned now. I know the Doyers are a little different here, but like. How hard it is for teams that end up putting themselves in these contracts and just getting nothing in return. Like the Mets. The Mets have the highest payroll. They didn't make the playoffs.
Nope. Signed Juan Soto in the offseason.
The Phillies.
That work out for you?
The Phillies continue to choke. Like, you think of some of these teams that give those contracts
out. No, Vlad delivered all throughout the postseason.
He has been awesome.
He has.
And that's like, this would have been the storyline either way. The getting Cal Raleigh, who might win the AL MVP, or Julio Rodriguez, who's been one of the best young players in the sport.
How are you not voting for Cal?
I don't get it, dude.
Getting those guys
and showcasing them in the World Series would have been great for baseball. Similarly, it's going to be awesome for the sport. If Vladdy has a big series, I don't think the Blue Jays are going to win. The Dodgers might not lose a game in this series. They're so overwhelming. There's no chance in hell that they lose this World Series. But getting Vladdy in the series and hitting a couple of bombs would be good for baseball.
Oh, it'd be fantastic.
Because he's a name recognition. Yeah. He's fun to watch. He hits dingers. Like, he's good for the sport.
I tend to agree with most of what you said yesterday on the Dodgers and the wagon and the, you know, inevitability of it. I'm not going to dismiss the idea the Blue Jays can beat them.
There's no chance. There's no chance the Blue Jays win the series.
What's the prediction?
There's none at all. 4-0.
You think it's a sweep?
Dodgers will win every game by 7 runs.
They
won't even get to the bullpen.
They get to that bullpen. It's
I'm really concerned about that Dodger bullpen. They struggled in the NLCS.
I was talking about the Blue Jays. Their bullpen's terrible.
I'm worried about the Dodgers. I mean, that Dodger bullpen was really leaky against Milwaukee.
Well, it was.
And all of those losses in the series.
Starting pitchers in the bullpen.
Yeah,
it worked.
It's funny. When you have $700 million arms, you can just kind of pick and choose which ones you want to throw.
There you go.
Isn't baseball a little bit of a fickle mistress when, like, I'm watching the game and I loved Wilson going to woo after Kirby?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then I see Schneider go to Varlander. And I told you yesterday on the show, anytime him or that little cat get in there, they give up a run. And what did he do?
Yeah.
He gave up the home run. Like,
yep.
I just was at that point, I'm like, my God. Dan Wilson's outmanaging the other guy.
Now we should fire him.
And had he gone to Munoz instead of Bizarda, and that was what Smoltz was talking about. You are in, forget about the last two innings. You're in the heart of the order. If there's going to be damage
done,
this is where they're going to do damage. Quit worrying about him getting the save or any of that nonsense or the last two innings. This is where the damage is going to be done. And sure enough, Springer did the damage.
I mean, look, it's a fair take. I saw a lot of Mariner fans saying, why didn't we walk Springer in that situation?
That was my question.
But then you got bases loaded.
And there was only one out.
There's only one out in the inning. They could hit a sack fly.
And then
it's just, what if you walk the next guy? Then you're welcoming a massive inning. Like, there's no right answer there. It's all hindsight because it didn't work out. We're going to question the decision that was made. Mm. I'm not arguing that Dan Wilson was perfect. I also think the... The impact that managers have on baseball games is grossly overrated. Like, is it Dan Wilson's fault that Julio saw 5 balls and swung at 3 of them in the last at-bat of the game?
No.
Is it his fault that the bottom 3 guys in his order hit barely over 100 and scored 2 runs in 7 games in the entire series? Like, that's not his fault. And so I find it funny in the reaction of they were that close. If they hold on to the lead, Dan Wilson is a hero and is the first ever manager to get the Seattle Mariners to the World Series.
As a former player.
As a former player. And it's like, and then if they now he loses the game and everybody wants to fire him. It's hilarious to me. You know what? Maybe this should be a wake-up call for the ownership group in Seattle of like, what happened when you finally were aggressive at the trade deadline? We got all these great young arms. We got these great homegrown pieces. All you needed to do over the years was go add a couple of bats. What happened?
Yeah.
First time they do it, they had 2 bats. I know Suarez didn't do a lot, but he was massive in Game 5.
And then Naylor was really good defensively.
Naylor was huge. Yep. He was an MVP in the second half of the year when they went and got him.
Yep.
And you're a game away from the World Series. So, like, I've seen a lot of Mariner fans echo that sentiment of hopefully this is a wake-up call of, like, see what happens when you invest. Like, we're not asking you to go sign $800 million contracts. We know you're not going to do that. But can we have guys that don't hit a .197 in the lineup? Maybe that's a thought. Maybe 7, 8, and 9 in the order next year isn't 3 guys that you just kind of chalk up as an auto out in the ALCS in Game 7.
Yeah.
Maybe that's the difference next year between winning or losing. I'm not going to argue Dan Wilson was perfect, but I'm also not going to sit here and pretend as if he's the sole reason that they lost that series.
One thought as a 12-year-old, I cried June 92 when the Blazers collapsed and lost Game 6, secluded myself out in the fort for an hour.
Yeah, Blazers were my first cry. Yeah. Game 7 against
they had
the Lakers.
A 15-point lead in the second half over the Bulls, I believe.
Us in 15-point leads. Huh?
Not good late in the game. Don't want to have a 15-point lead if
also,
we're ever in a big moment again.
Underrated smart thing. Like, you're devastated. Build a fort.
Yeah.
You can go cry in there and hide. And
nobody will see you. I'm going to be out there for a while.
And somebody else says, I stand with Sprague, a brave patriot who committed the horrible crime of believing in the Pacific Northwest.
How dare you? How dare you?
I died last night.
People are asking for your address at the fan text line, so we'll go ahead and
Zillow my house.
And chime in with let people Zillow your house. How much you pay for that bad boy? Huh? What's the cost on that thing?
Let's see how much your house is worth, and then let's execute you. No, thank you. No, thank you. I'm sorry. It'll be okay.
Yes.
Invest. Shore up some of the lineup. Maybe I'll be back there next
time
year.
Time heals all wounds, man. Like, I had a buddy who's a Mariner fan text last night. He was like, I'm not even mad. That
it's
was so much
season.
Fun. Like, the emotional roller coaster that they were on, because remember, they had that stretch in August or late July, whenever it was, when they couldn't win a game. Swag said they're thankful
they
to get the Mets.
They lost 8 or 9 in a
and
row.
And you're like, dude, they might not go to the playoffs. And then they go on this unbelievable streak, and they win the division, and they can't
18.
Lose. And
yeah.
then you get to the ALCS, you get further than you've ever gotten in a series.
You get
so,
past the 15-inning Tiger
yes,
game, like you
like,
won that
that's
game.
That's a legendary moment that you'll never forget, walking that game off in the 15th
game
inning.
Game 5,
so,
ALCS.
Look, it's it's going to take a while, but you'll look up in like 2 months and be like, God, that was so much fun, man. What a run we went on.
When do pitchers and catchers report? You're usually good at this.
Oh, I don't know yet. What? Well, the season's not done yet. Technically it is because Dodgers, there's no chance they lose the World Series.
It's usually Valentine's weekend when they report.
Okay. So we're not that far away. That's
Oh, God. It'll be here season. In like 3 weeks, man.
Let's get to NFL Factoid Tuesday.
111 days.
There you go. We got the NFL Factoid Tuesday. We also have some embarrassing local audio from two specific teams. So we'll get to that top of the hour. We'll hear from the Danimal today. Two cuts from his press conference yesterday. Jake Butt, 7:15. Dirt and Sprague back with NFL Factoid Tuesday. I woke up this morning and figured. All right, welcome back in. It's a NFL Factoid Tuesday. A lot going on in the National Football League. The Seahawks won last night. The Kraken lost to the Flyers, by the way, so you were just like...
They were close there, yeah.
You were hoping.
It was close to the trifecta, yes.
Seahawks defense versus the Texans last night. 3 sacks, 7 quarterback hits, 10 tackles for loss, 12 passes defensed, and an interception.
When you combine a pretty good defense against a struggling and floundering offense, that's probably what you're going to see more often than not. Nice home win for the Seahawks last night.
4 rookies have 500-plus scrimmage yards and 5 touchdowns in 2025. That is the most such players through the first 7 weeks of a season in the common draft era since 1967.
Wow. Look at that.
There were only 8 such rookies from 2023 to 2024 combined.
What?
Wow.
What? That's pretty remarkable, man.
These are talented cats, man.
It was fun seeing Tez score a touchdown again last night. He's got a couple games in a row now with a tutty.
Can you name the four?
There's 4 of them or 5 of them?
There's 4 rookies that have 500-plus scrimmage yards and 5 tuds.
Emeka Abuga.
Hold on. Let me do this right, show-wise.
You have the... every time we play that, we got to get the grunk drop going
Cam
in there.
Cam Scataboo.
I think if there's any other running backs. I don't think there is.
It's got to be receivers or
tight ends. It's got to be receivers.
In. Oh, Warren.
Tyler Warren, yeah. No. No. Wrong answer.
Doesn't have 5 tutties. Who are the other rookie receivers?
You're outthinking the room on this.
Oh.
Quarterbacks? No. Not counties? I give up. I got nothing.
Judkins and Janty.
Oh, okay. Yeah, 2 other running backs. That's a cool stat, man. A lot of young guys having big impacts right away.
I didn't realize Jenny had 5 touchdowns because I can't remember the last time the Raiders scored.
Well, they scored against the Titans, but yeah, to your point, this weekend it was really tough. Jahmyr Gibbs, 78-yard touchdown. I don't put these in as much anymore, but I still like this. He ran 22.23 miles per hour.
God. Fast.
Almost ran the school zone.
One of those
Actually, he ran faster than the school zone.
Faster than the school zone. School zone 20.
He's getting pulled over.
Pull his ass over.
That's right.
Speeding ticket right there. Remember when everybody criticized that draft pick? What are the Lions doing?
Yeah. I'll never forget that. How about this for GOAT stats? The last two quarterbacks with 100-plus pass attempts, 2 touchdowns, and no picks in their first 3 starts, Tom Brady.
I did see this one.
And Dylan Gabriel.
I mean, he's on his path. He's on the way.
Right.
On the way to becoming the GOAT. Nice dub this weekend.
Some people are saying.
His stat line went viral, and people were saying, "What? Woody, how do you grade this? Dylan Gabriel stat line." And I saw somebody retweet it was like, it was pouring rain and in 50-mile-an-hour winds, and they won by 30. What are we doing right now?
1,061 teams had lost when trailing by 18-plus points in the final 6 minutes. The Broncos broke that streak on Sunday.
Our boss is a big Giants fan, saw him yesterday after the show. What's going on there, man? That one was tough.
Maybe coaching? I don't know. Maybe.
Making the calls? Get the defense in.
Drake May, according to Fox Stats and Info, became the first quarterback in the Super Bowl era to complete 90-plus percentage of his passes, throw for 200-plus yards, and rush for 50-plus yards in a game.
He's been so good, man. Every single week, it's been consistently better. They're finding their identity as an offense. They're taking advantage of a bad schedule, right? I mean, I know they have the one win on the road against Buffalo, but beaten up against some bad teams, but that's what you have to do if you're going to try and make the playoffs as a team who was a bottom feeder last year. They're going to get the benefit in the scheduling. The next two games are cakewalks for them, and he's playing at a high level.
I'll tell you right now.
Titans are 4-20 since they let Vrabel go.
Yeah, he now has more wins in his first year as the Patriots coach because they're 5-2. He has more wins this year than the Titans have had since they fired him.
He's like, last week I think he was plus 20,000. How are you not rushing to your DraftKings account and just putting something on Drake May as an MVP? Because if they are able to kind of hold off the Bills and win the division, and these numbers continue to do what they are,
13-4 or something, 12-5.
If they're 12-5 and win the division, and he has the kind of season he's projected to have,
4,200 yards, absolutely could be MVP. 30 some odd tuds, doesn't throw it away a lot.
Right now, just in overall rankings, he's 8th in passing yards, 8th in touchdowns. Let's see, completion percentage, that might be a little misleading.
His percentage might be number one in the NFL.
It is number one in the NFL. 75.2%, just ahead of Jared Goff.
Right now, he's projected to have 4,200-plus passing yards, 75.2 completion percentage, 29 touchdowns, 5 picks, 8.6 average. What was Allen's touchdowns? I know he had the rushing numbers, but also what were Allen's passing touchdowns? Because I want to say
he didn't have a ton.
It wasn't
of
much
them.
Different than that.
It was right
last
like
year, Josh
something.
Allen was 3,700 yards, 28 touchdowns, six picks.
Yeah, that 29 touchdowns, five picks
for 531 and 12 tuds on the ground. So he had a total of 40 touchdowns on the season.
So I'm trying to see rushing wise.
That's the part we don't talk enough about. May with he's a very good athlete.
Right now, how many rushing yards did Allen get to? 500, you said?
530 and 12 tuds.
I have to do the math. The ESPN stat doesn't have this. But, I mean, touchdown-wise, he's not going to get there.
No.
One rushing touchdown.
Yeah.
But he had 62 yards this weekend.
Yeah,
I mean, 45 against the Steelers.
He can rack it up. I don't know if he'll get to 500. Sack yardage is part of that, too. Do they take that away from quarterbacks in the NFL like they do in college?
No.
That doesn't count against rushing numbers?
Okay. No, it's so stupid how they do it. Against the team's net passing yards, but not the
which is how it should work.
Individual passing.
That's exactly how it should work. Yeah, I wish college would do that. But Allen, too, is he's such a goal line threat. Like, so many times they just hike it to him, let him run inside the five-yard line. And May doesn't quite get that in New England.
More NFL factoids here on a Tuesday, and we'll get to the local embarrassing audio at the top of the hour. Dirt and Sprague back with more on 105.1 The Fan and the Fan Sports Network.
Skip the gym, not the workout. With Hydro, you get a full body workout in just 20 minutes, hitting 86% of your muscles in one smooth, low impact motion. And now there's a new Hydro Arc, Hydro's most advanced rower yet. Arc introduces Hydro Metrics, tracking your power, endurance, and precision every time you row, so you can actually see your progress. Go to Hydro.com and use code FIT to get $100 off any Hydro rower, including Arc. That's HYDROW.com, code FIT.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radnor, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, there's two ways to handle something when asked. I don't know if you handle it the right way with this. And then also something locally we didn't get to yesterday. Quite embarrassing. So we'll get to that at the top of the hour. But it's a NFL Factoid Tuesday, of course. So we got to roll on.
with our factoids.
You got more factoids?
I do. Now, hold on.
Gotta find them. Gotta find them. They're out there somewhere.
Yep.
We got them. Rap,
rap.
Okay. What? No, maybe.
You know.
Brown PS, Brown PS.
One of our listeners, Jamie, big Colts fan.
Yeah.
She's just as surprised as us. They're 6-1. Nice win this weekend against the Chargers. How about this one? Jonathan Taylor had his third game with three rushing touchdowns this season. It's the most in a season in Colts franchise history. He also became the fourth player in NFL history with three such games within his team's first seven games of a season, joining Jim Brown in 58,
wow,
Priest Holmes in 04,
wow,
and Derrick Henry in 2021.
Wow.
I would say this. We know the running back is never going to win the MVP unless all quarterbacks completely blow, and I don't think that's going to be the case. He's the O-boy, right?
Has to be at this point of the year.
I mean, when you're doing things Edgerrin James never did.
It's so stupid that we can't give the MVP to a non-quarterback anymore.
Dude,
I mean,
he's
been unbelievable.
Every time I see a highlight, he's breaking four tackles.
Yes.
And then high-stepping to 30 more yards.
Doing something incredible. And it's not to take anything away from Daniel Jones, who is having a really good resurgent year. And we've talked about him a ton. But he's the one that makes that offense go. He's the guy that everything kind of builds off of in terms of play action and the throwing game. It's all because of the season that Jonathan Taylor is having right now.
Best teams against the spread. Now, this was going into last night, so I'll have to edit the record now.
Yeah.
But the best teams against the spread, Colts, Rams, Patriots, Panthers. All 5-2.
Yeah. I believe the Lions are now 5-2 after last night as well.
Bucks are now 4-3. Seahawks are 5-2. The Lions are 5-2.
Yeah.
Worst teams against the spread.
Don't trust them. Don't touch them.
Ravens.
Yeah.
Saints.
Ooh.
Titans.
Titans.
Broncos. Tell me about it.
And the Raiders.
Long is active winning streak against the spreads. Bears and the Patriots have four straight games.
Vegas isn't quite sure what to do with either of those. New England keeps winning games, and they're like, do we need to change the way this market's going to look? What are the odds in this game?
And now the Chiefs entering Sunday as Super Bowl favorites.
Yeah,
to
right
our conversation yesterday.
Right back where we started, man. Didn't take long. Glimmer of hope, and now it's gone.
George Kittle didn't record a catch in his first game back for San Francisco, but he did make an impact in run blocking. With Kittle on the field, San Francisco ran 28 times for 151 yards and two tutties. Off the field, they ran it just six times for 12 yards.
Pretty good run blocking tight end right there, that George Kittle.
He's one of the all-time best.
Yep.
Christian McCaffrey generated plus 44 more rushing yards than expected and had seven explosive runs. That's 10-plus yards or more down the field. Christian McCaffrey also, give me a second here. Where is it?
Searching.
I got a lot of stats.
You got a lot in there.
Christian
McCaffrey's been very good this year.
I think he generated 62% of their total scrimmage yards.
The irony of all this is if I told you at the start of the year the Niners are going to be decimated by injuries, he's one of the first guys you probably would have thought of.
I thought he was going to get hurt in game one when he had a calf problem. He's like, okay, here comes the Achilles.
All the other injuries, here we go. And now you look up almost at the halfway point. He's playing at such a high level. And Mac Jones, again, we talk a lot about the quarterbacks, and Mac Jones has been solid as a backup for them in winning games. Defensively, they have been much better than they've been in years past under Robert Saleh. But again, the guy driving the bus for them, catching the ball and running the ball, is Christian McCaffrey week in and week out.
But Justin Herbert made history for all the wrong reasons again.
Ooh, what happened now?
He became the first player ever to have 35-plus completions, 420 passing yards, 3-plus passing touchdowns, and 30-plus rushing yards in a loss.
It's becoming like the Shohei Ohtani, Mike Trout stats from the Angels. First guy since Bud Smith back in 1907 to hit 17 home runs in a game and still lose. He threw that bad end zone interception, but their problem on Sunday was their defense. Indy did whatever they wanted to, whenever they wanted to.
I mean, I know they're also dealing with injury. They feel like a team that is kind of questioning everything right now. I know they just won a couple weeks ago, but
yeah,
kind of a fluky-ish win. Great play by Herbert, but to break that tackle and get those yards.
He's there. I mean, he has to be Hercules right now for them to win because they're not as good defensively as they were last year.
No.
They're playing their sixth and seventh tackles, right tackle and left tackle. Their top running backs are all injured for a significant amount of time. Their only hope is Herbert's a hero. And they did get Khalil Mack back this past week. Clearly did not help defensively at all. I don't know what the timeline is on Joe Alt. They desperately need him back to anchor one of the sides of the offensive line. I maintained it for them. They just got to hold serve around 500. They got Minnesota at home on Thursday night. Carson Wentz coming to town or J.J. McCarthy. That's a winnable game. Will they win it? I don't know. But it's not like that's a guaranteed loss for them. If you find a way to win that one, buy yourself a little more time to get healthy. They'll stick around in the playoff hunt.
Tua is the first Dolphins quarterback with three INTs in consecutive games since Marino did it in 86.
Yeesh. Burn it down to the ground, Miami. Mm. Burn it down to the ground.
There have been 33 total lead changes in the final 2 minutes of regulation. 26 games have featured a lead change in the final 2 minutes of regulation. Those are both the most through 7 weeks of a season. Boys, the witching hour is witching really hard this year.
Tell me about it. How many winning bets have become losing bets in the witching hour? I've seen it time and time again. I'm almost scared now of the witching hour.
I'm gambling the most during the witching hour. I'm live betting on teams that are down.
Yeah, that's not a bad idea because you're seeing it every single week where there's a couple of blots that's going to happen every week in the NFL, and then you just get every other game seemingly comes down to the final play.
A couple more for you, and then we get to the second hour. I don't know what to do with these two. The Panthers have won three straight for the first time since weeks 1 through 3 in 2021.
He's back, baby. Franchise QB.
The Bears have won four straight in a season for the first time since 2018 in weeks 14 through 17. Are the Bears and Panthers good? I don't know what to do here.
No, they're not. The Panthers, definitely not.
I would give more the benefit of the doubt of the Bears, mostly because they've figured out how to run the football effectively and take more pressure off of Caleb Williams from having to do it all by himself.
Could either of them contend for an NFC wildcard spot? Sure. I mean, the schedules are manageable. We've talked about it. The back half of the NFC is interesting, although the NFC West might have something to say about that. But
with all of Tampa's injuries, they're not going to run away and hide in that division. The Saints stink, and the Falcons, you never know what you're going to get, seemingly, Sunday.
Yeah. In the department of sorry dirt.
Okay.
With Sunday's win, Patrick Mahomes passed your guy Peyton Manning for most wins for a quarterback age 30 or younger.
Yeah, it's inevitable. My life sucks. The Dodgers are going to win the World Series. Ohio State's probably going to win the national championship, and Kansas City's going to win the Super Bowl. And I'm going to want to quit. I don't want to do sports anymore. I'm going to become a movie critic or, get into politics. What should I do?
Oh, God.
No politics?
What would you be worse at? Because you don't watch movies.
What would be the Sunday on top of, or the cherry on top of that crap Sunday for you? Patrick Reed comes back and wins Masters again?
That wouldn't hurt me.
Me leaving to do a Premier League podcast.
What are we doing?
With Softy.
I'm trying to think of who the NBA team that winning would hurt me the most.
Probably the Rockets with Kevin Durant.
I don't care about that. That doesn't do anything for me. OKC winning again would suck.
That's possible.
But that's not. Fat skinny Luka getting one would probably rub me the wrong way. If the Lakers find a way to win another title.
Washington beating your Ducks in a year, Ohio State wins again.
Yeah, that would hurt too. That would absolutely hurt.
And last one, Stafford has 5 touchdowns. He had 5 touchdowns with fewer than 200 passing yards. Last player to do that, Winston in 2021. I would have never guessed he threw that few yards.
No, how many picks did he throw in that game? 5? Was it a 5-5 game? 5-by-5-er for Jameis Winston?
All right, there we go. NFL Factoid Tuesday, every Tuesday at 6:30. We kick off the second hour of the program. Some embarrassing local audio I want to get to. Not how you answer the question, in my opinion. So we'll kick it off. Hour number 2, Dirt and Sprague, 105.1 The Fan and the Fan Sports Network.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Will Stefanski, two-time coach of the year, Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air. And we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.